our heart's word. Our Old Testament lesson is taken from the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that unfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Here is the reading of God's word. Our next lesson is taken from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. First importance that Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And that is a term that was used in the New Testament for dying, falling asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, that is Paul also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of our gospel lesson. Today's gospel lesson is taken from the 20th chapter of St. John's Gospel, beginning with the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloths that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. The good news that I am here to tell you and the good news that I am called to tell the world is this: Jesus is alive. He is alive. He was crucified. He was buried, but he is raised to life. So we say as a congregation together every Easter Sunday, "He is risen," and you say,
"He is risen."
And I want you to listen to this: because Jesus is risen, you are risen. Because Jesus has been raised to life, today you are alive in Christ. You who have repented of your sin and trusted in Christ as your Savior, you are alive in Christ today. And you are alive in Christ for all of eternity. The Bible teaches the great reality of life. Jesus gives life. He gives life because he is life. And apart from Jesus, there is no life. And when I talk about life, I'm not talking about purely physical life. I'm talking about eternal life, spiritual life. That part of us that doesn't die. That part of us that is eternal. In the original language in which the New Testament was written, there are two Greek words for life. One of the Greek words has to do with purely physical life. The other word, Zoe, has to do with eternal life. That's where we get the name Zoe. Anybody know a girl named Zoe? Zoe means life everlasting, life eternal, the kind of life that Jesus spoke of in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but has what? Everlasting life. That is Zoe. We believe that Jesus is the one who gives this everlasting life. And Jesus surprises us with life, with life. On the first Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene went to Jesus' tomb expecting to find death. But she did not find death in the tomb. She found life. Not only did she find that Jesus was raised from the dead, she also received by faith life eternal for herself. Life eternal through faith in Jesus. Jesus is in the business of making people alive. We saw that in the Gospels. As Jesus lived, he raised people from the dead. And he was raised himself from the dead. But today in 2024, here in Linwood, Jesus is still in the business of making people alive. Alive in him. Alive for eternity. Let me tell you this: you who repent and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are alive in him. But I ask the question, what does it mean to be alive in Jesus Christ today? Well, I have three things for us today. To be alive in Jesus is to have, first of all, the forgiveness of sins. Those who are alive in Jesus have the forgiveness of sins. Number two, those who are alive in Jesus have the shepherd who leads. You have the shepherd who leads you through this life. And then third, those of you who are alive in Jesus have the hope of eternity. The hope of eternity. First, the forgiveness of sins. Those of you who are alive in Jesus Christ, you have the forgiveness of sins. Some people wonder, can the weight of guilt, can the burden of guilt be removed from me? So many people live with guilt and they live with shame. And I'm here today to tell you that yes, the weight of guilt can be lifted through the forgiveness of sins. Shameful actions are something that we hide. Just like Adam and Eve tried to hide their shame with fig leaves, we try to hide from others certain aspects of our past or certain habits or hang-ups of our present. Imagine this phone contained all of your thoughts, all of your words, all of your deeds. Everything that you've thought, everything that you've said, and everything that you have done. How many of you would want this phone to be destroyed? I would. That's because we have done things that we are ashamed of. But here is the good news of the gospel. Though I am a sinner, my sins cover me, and that sin separates me from God. What Jesus did is he came. He died upon the cross. He took my sin upon himself, and he made it his own. He died upon the cross so that we would be forgiven of all of our sins. Not only did Jesus die for us, taking our sin upon himself, he died and he was buried. And he was in the tomb. And when he rose again on the third day, he didn't bring our sins back. And now through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be clothed in his righteousness and in his holiness. He no longer sees your sin. You are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ because he died and he shed his blood. He took your sin upon himself. He was buried and he rose again. And now through faith in him, you have Christ as your Savior. You have the forgiveness of sins. You have everlasting life. To be alive in Jesus is to have the forgiveness of sins. To be alive in Jesus is that you would know that all of your sins have been washed away. My prayer is that you would be surprised by the reality of this life, which brings the forgiveness of sins. And then not only do you have the forgiveness of sins, you have the shepherd who leads. The shepherd who leads. Some people ask, is there someone out there who cares about me? Is there anyone in this world that cares about what I am going through today? Not only is there someone who cares about what you're going through right now, Jesus is the shepherd who walks by your side, and he strengthens you through whatever you're facing in life right now. You might not feel Jesus with you. You might not feel the presence of your good shepherd with you and helping you. But he is present with you. And he is working in your life. He is Lord in your life. He is even Lord of the bad stuff. The tough stuff. The difficult things. And through the bad stuff, he's doing some good stuff. We might not be able to recognize it or see it, but we know that he's working all things together for good. He'll never waste a hurt. He'll never waste a time of grief. As your good shepherd who leads you, he redeems all things. He turns the bad into something that is of eternal good to the glory of God the Father. This is easier to say than to believe. So we ask, Lord, help us to believe that you are the good shepherd, that you walk with us through the most difficult times of life, and that you are even turning the bad stuff in our lives into good stuff for your glory. I don't understand why something bad happened to one guy and then something good happened to the next guy. I don't always get it. However, I do have faith that Jesus is leading all of his sheep through the difficulties of this life, and into something good, into something better. I might not see that something good in the darkness of the valley, but I have faith that God is my good shepherd who leads me through the valleys of life. And I know that in the end that he will receive the glory and the honor. Think of Mary Magdalene today on that first Easter Sunday. She was in a dark, deep valley. Her Lord Jesus had been executed in a most horrific way upon a cross. Jesus didn't do anything to deserve the cross. Mary didn't deserve the sadness that followed that Good Friday. All Jesus did was teach the truth. He healed the sick. He liberated the oppressed. Yet they murdered Jesus in a horrific manner. Mary Magdalene didn't think she had a shepherd anymore. On that first Easter Sunday, she was there with no shepherd, expecting to find death. You see, the shepherd had been struck and the sheep had been scattered. But Jesus was there with her. She didn't recognize Jesus. The concept of resurrection was so foreign to her thinking, as it is with all of us, that she assumed that Jesus was the gardener. She assumed the gardener had removed Jesus' body from the tomb. But then her good shepherd spoke her name, Mary. After hearing Jesus speak her name, she recognized the voice of her good shepherd. This reminds me of what Jesus said earlier in John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. Nothing at all will ever snatch me out of the hand of Jesus. My prayer is that you live with that confidence today. There is nothing that can snatch you out of Jesus' hand. Live in that reality. Live in the reality that you are held by your good shepherd. Live in that reality today and tomorrow and for eternity. View your past from that perspective. Something bad happened in your past. Something difficult. Know that Christ was holding you even then. And you might say, I don't deserve to be kept in Jesus' hand. I've sinned. Yes, you have, and so have I. But don't forget my first point. Because Jesus is alive, you have the forgiveness of sins. And because Jesus is alive, you have not only the forgiveness of sins, you have the good shepherd who leads you. And I pray that today you'll be surprised by the love of your good shepherd. Yes, life is hard. Life is difficult. Life throws us curveballs that we would never expect. But he is the good shepherd who is with you always. So in this life that we've been given in Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins, we have the shepherd who leads us, and then last, we have the hope of eternity. The hope of eternity. Not only will Jesus lead you in and through this life, through all the difficulties, but he also promises to lead you into eternity. I believe there is more to life than simply making the best of the years given to us and then at death ceasing to exist. There are a lot of people out there who believe that. We just simply live this life that we're given to live, and then when death comes, that's it. I believe that we are eternal beings. I believe that Jesus created us to live today for his glory and honor. And I believe that Jesus created us to live for all of eternity for his glory and for his honor. A true biblical life is to understand that life is eternal. Not only is life eternal as a spirit, A true biblical perspective on life is not to separate the spirit from the body. You see, our goal in eternity is not that we would live as eternal spirits. That's actually an unbiblical idea. The goal of your salvation is eternal resurrection life. Eternal resurrection life. Church, listen to this, and this may sound like a foreign concept to you today. We are looking forward to the day when we are raised from death. In the same way Jesus was raised from the dead, we too will be raised. Those who die in Jesus will be raised from their graves. One day Jesus is coming again. And when Jesus comes again, he will raise us from the grave to everlasting life. The Bible says this about Jesus and you, the hope of eternity. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The Bible says the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Again, the New Testament speaks of death as if we're taking a nap. The death of our body is temporary. This does not mean that we experience soul sleep. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but there is a day coming when we will be raised as Christ was raised, and he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus was the first of countless who will be raised from their graves. We read about this in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll read again in a different translation. 1 Corinthians 15:16 through 20. This is Eugene Peterson's interpretation. And the Apostle Paul writes, if corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection, because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration and a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up. The first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. One day your body is going to raise up out of the ground. You will live in a new resurrection body for all of eternity. My prayer is that you will be pleasantly surprised by the hope of eternity in Jesus. Eternity in Jesus. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb expecting to find death, but she was surprised by life. And today, here on this Easter Sunday, may we be surprised once again by our risen Jesus and live in the life that brings to us the forgiveness of sins, the Good Shepherd who leads us, and the hope of eternity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. Lord, if there are any who are here today who have not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray today that you would open their hearts, that you would open their minds, that you would do a work by your Holy Spirit, that they would know that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, and that Jesus was raised for them. That they would know that they have the forgiveness of all of their sins. That they would know that they have the Good Shepherd who leads them. And that they would have the hope of eternity. Lord, it's only by your Spirit that we can receive these things. So, Lord, may our hearts be filled with joy. May our hearts be filled with peace in these realities today. It's in Jesus' name we pray.